EcoTalk is the nation's only syndicated environmental program on commercial radio today.
Hi, I'm Betsy Rosenberg, and I host a radio program called EcoTalk, which is kind of surprising because 10 years ago, I wouldn't have called myself an environmentalist. So I often wonder how I got into the business of saving the planet, or at least my small role in the biggest challenge of our time, spreading awareness and connecting the dots between what we humans do to our air, water, and food, which is, after all, our life support system, and how planetary health has a direct relationship to public and personal health. The more I learned, the more it became clear the news is not so good, with growing evidence of climate change, water and air pollution, ocean and ecosystem depletion, and even toxins showing up in our bodies. So perhaps it's time to wake up and take what's happening to our life-sustaining resources a little more personally. There is some good news. Healthier alternatives from organic food to cleaner cars to green buildings are beginning to appear and appeal to the mainstream public. Technology to reduce fossil fuel pollution from cars and factories is available, and renewable energy from the sun, wind, and plants is plentiful and cheap. But we can only address what we understand, and that's where EcoTalk comes in. This is not a gloom and doom hour. It's informing, inspiring, and occasionally even funny. It all began with my distaste for waste. This new disposable DVD where you watch it and then the movie will disappear. The DVD won't, just the movie on it in 3 weeks' time. Have you heard about that, Bill?
No, but I've watched a lot of movies that disappeared from my mind, even than that.
But no harm there. But there is harm in what we throw away, because there really is no away.
The waste that we see on the curb is really just the tip of this enormous iceberg that has incredible environmental consequences. The clear-cut forest of the West, the polluted streams in the Southwest from copper mining, things like that, all of that is related to waste. Zero waste is the next industrial revolution.
Did she say zero waste? But America is the most consuming and wasteful nation on the planet.
Yes, in fact, you know, most people see waste as an inevitable burden, but it's really not. There is no waste in a natural system. There needn't be waste in an economic system. It's just a matter of looking at things differently. And what zero waste does says that nothing's out of the question, that we need to take a creative view, and it really lets us set the bar very high. You know, we may not be able to get rid of every toothpaste tube, but if we don't aim for zero, we'll never know how far we're going to get.
One thing we've noticed is that everything is getting bigger.
If you look around us, the average size of a house has gotten bigger, the average size of a vehicle has gotten bigger, our televisions, our big screen TVs, you know,
our waistlines.
Our waistlines, bagels, cookies, muffins, everything's gotten bigger, and the earth is not expanding. There's a profound impact when everybody's going for bigger and when we're the model globally.
Well, the planet may not be expanding, but it is warming. Even Al Gore agrees.
We face a long road ahead in solving the climate crisis. It is the most difficult challenge of its kind the world has ever confronted.
Scientists predict climate change will not only cause environmental damage, but economic impacts as well.
I think it's going to hurt our economy tremendously in the long run, because what happens is that the technologies, many of which were invented here in the United States, are now being developed by Germany, Japan, Denmark. They are now the leaders in wind, in solar, and obviously in the hybrid car market and all those technologies. And the United States is starting to lag behind. And because we're not part of that system of trading and getting that technology rolling, I think in the long run it will really hurt our economy.
One way to burn fewer fossil fuels is to not be so fuelish.
My wonderful Honda Civic Hybrid, 54 miles to the gallon. I don't know why anybody doesn't drive them. Only difference between it any other car in the world is that you go to the gas station so infrequently that you can't remember which side of the car the gas cap is on.
U.S. automakers like Ford, under Bill Ford Jr., are starting to steer their companies in a greener direction.
Bill is absolutely committed to make sure that this company celebrates its bicentennial. The sustainability is a factor for social capital and environmental capital, but it's also very much key to making sure that this business sticks around.
And consumers are catching on, too.
What we're finding with today's world of high gasoline cost is that many of our members want to shop green.
And that's where the good news begins. It's not too late to reverse course.
As soon as we say something is inevitable, then we don't have to do anything about it. It lets us off the hook. Mm. And the real challenge is to say nothing is inevitable. The future is entirely contingent. It is contingent upon our action. If there is a core message in The Impossible, will take a little while, it's that it is contingent on our actions. And it is not that we have no power, it is that we do not use the power that we have.
And people in power, like Ray Anderson, a major player in the carpet industry, are taking a good look in the mirror.
It was an epiphanal moment, and I realized it was an eye-opening moment. I realized I was a plunderer of the Earth. The living systems of Earth, the life support systems, the biosphere itself is in decline, long-term systemic decline.
After making a mid-course correction, Anderson says they took on scaling what he calls Mount Sustainability. Interface saw waste decline and profits rise.
Betsy, it is a better way to bigger profits. In our experience now, 10 years of it, our costs are down, not up. We have saved in the waste category alone $255 million over these years, and that's a company that with sales about $1 billion per year. The $255 million is a big percentage of our bottom line that's come from waste elimination. Our products are better than they've ever been, and that's come about because our product designers have taken inspiration from biomimicry.
Anderson has become a self-described eco-evangelist, speaking to CEOs across the globe. And in fact, there is a religious aspect to stewardship.
You know, environmentalism didn't begin with Earth Day. It starts in Genesis.
After all, caring for creation is fundamental.
And I still say when I start talking now, I am not part of a liberal conspiracy. I come at this from a very deep theological foundation that we were put in the garden to till it and to keep it, which is what God said in the first book of Genesis.
So perhaps we should remember it's not nice to fool Mother Nature, and that not all of what we do to her is reversible.
You know, you can repeal taxes, you can repeal anything you want. Can't repeal the laws of physics.
What we're learning is that denial is dangerous, and not just for the planet, but people as well.
They identified the petrochemical problem as an epidemic in public health of asthma, depression, and chemical sensitivities. And asthma, of course, is the number one leading chronic illness in children. Depression is a central nervous system problem, which can be a hallmark indicator of exposure to oil. And I'm talking about levels when you're in rush hour traffic every day. Those are the low levels. Forget the Gulf War vets and the Exxon Valdez. Those were just the warning.
And a misallocation of our resources can erode the public trust, according to Bobby Kennedy Jr.
The best measure of how democracy works is how it distributes the goods of the land, the commonwealth, the air that we breathe, those assets that belong by their very nature to the public and not to individuals that aren't susceptible to private ownership. Is the government making sure that the most humble and most vulnerable people in our society have the right to clean air and clean water and can go fishing?
As you can hear, we bring a variety of voices to the table, from business leaders to grassroots activists like this Louisiana shrimper.
I was fighting one of the largest development, petrochemical developments Texas had ever had, and Texas is known for petrochemical industry down there, and it was the biggest thing they did, and I took my own shrimp boat out, and I proceeded to sink it right on top of their discharge.
Ooh, that must have gone over well.
Oh, I had about 4 boatloads of Coast Guard, and they said I was a terrorist on the high seas.
And that was before we had real terrorists.
I think that was one of the first times papers down there come out with terrorists.
And sometimes business leaders and activists are one and the same, like Anita Roddick, founder of The Body Shop and author of a book opposing water privatization. It's one thing to expect the water to come out of the tap, but we waste a lot of water here in America. Do you have a fact in here? A leaky faucet that loses a drop per second loses 16 bathtubs full a month. And that adds up to 10,000 liters a year. Most people who are watching that drip drip probably never think about that.
Well, that's why in Sweden, they have a National Pee Outside Day, where they save thousands of liters, I mean millions of liters.
Did you say a National Pee Outside Day? Elaborate just a little bit on that.
In the book, I don't want to give you too much. It's an event that they have, and it's just National Pee Outside Day. And so you pee outside.
You're leaking a story here from your book. Okay. In more ways than one, we're finding that our waste matters.
We need people to look at this in a different way. The kind of things which you might not think of. Going to Coles Bay, Tasmania. First town in Australia to ban plastic bags completely. That was started by a baker. 80 more towns in Australia have gone plastic bag free. In the Xerox Fuji Corporation in Sydney, Australia, they are recovering the rolls, the old rolls, saving the ones with the magnets on. Very expensive part of a copying machine. They thought the magnets were going. They weren't. It was a leak from the toner. They've replaced a part. It cost 41 cents. That's already saved the company $40 million. dollars. So creativity at the front end will save a fortune at the back end.
From saving costs to saving species, a new awareness is taking root.
And I think it's about a lack of education and not understanding that climate change means we're going to lose something like 35% of the species on the planet by 2050. People can't grasp that idea. I have grandkids. That's their life. That's the middle of their life. I mean, I look at them and I think of what we're dealing with now, and it's painful.
But pain can also empower.
If you move past it, if you just say, okay, I can do this, you'll see so much is possible. And it's really seeing what is it that moves you in your community and just stepping out and speaking out and just from your heart, your own voice. If you speak about what concerns you, you can't imagine how powerful that voice is.
So if change begins with words and there's more than enough information about what changes are needed to make an eco-U-turn, EcoTalk is committed to being that voice.
To contact EcoTalk about syndication and advertising opportunities, please call us at 415-561-2165 or send an email inquiry to betsy@ecotalk.net.